This is Eric.
This is Marie.
And this is Phil.
And you're listening to the Rock Five Podcast. On this episode, we feature music from the hip-hop artist Man of War.
Whoopi makes a fool of herself.
And Sarah Silverman makes a fool of everyone.
News and commentary, and much more.
Swing the captain's pass, radiation ready, get pace, no magic. Scab with liquid acid, evolved dog. Elephant tusk, furious like samurai's blade, and never rust. Rise like eagle's eye, by the equation, equate death. Death to pentagram, temper switch, breath to turn upside down, time for leisures. Beneath robes, the scroll treasured secrets. Creed, feed the mark, beneath sins, the beast, empty clip, Cimmerian web spool. Ground flame, tool, tune gate, crash, your goggle, infrared, thunder, esteem. Esteem, blood types, inhale, fatal dog fights like fiends, dip pipes. Shoelace. The eye beams to the end of the earth. Lacerate cranes like martyrs from guillotines. Exalt God's eye, you bounce like mortar rounds. I ground troop, earth move, dig deep, meditate and seek. Cultivate, penetrate, illuminate, stake to mold shape. Take the flame, salt, bring, travel around, profound words at the potency. Levitate my wisdom like buoyancy out of seas. Corpus, but only hope, just to enhance a fraction. Blast to the lessons of adolescence, aptitude established, intensify. From masters, rabbis, I dig like trends.
So last week on the podcast, we discussed Kevorkian, Dr. Death, and his scheduled speak at the University of Florida on October 11th, and that has been postponed. What happened was that on that campus was the famous, or the infamous, Don't Tase Me Bro incident. And the security there on campus got a little, I don't know, got ants in their pants or whatever.
They were worried.
They were worried, yes.
That somebody might show up to protest Kevorkian and that they would have to use tasers again. They needed to take a look at the situation and see how it was handled.
Reevaluate their security system.
Yes, their overhanded bearingness.
So it's been moved to January 15th, and that gives us time to rally the students to show their displeasure to the university for having him speak, because he is getting paid $50,000 and actually an additional $7,500 for moving his date. So that is a lot of money.
So it makes no sense that the students come together to say they want to spend $50,000 of, you know, university money on a speaker that they don't want. And then the school says, well, since there's so many students who are going to protest this, we need to reevaluate our security situation. And then we're going to have the dude back, and then we're going to give him more money. This is ridiculous. Somebody needs to get fired.
So we need to do something.
There is a petition at terriesfight.org. On the right-hand sign is a sign, No to Dr. Death petition. Click on that and sign it.
And that's T-E-R-R-I.
S.
F-I-G-H-T.
Very good, .org. Now here's the thing. Dr. Death, or Jack Kevorkian, claims he's not speaking on assisted suicide, but instead on prison reform.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Prison reform?
Yes, because he claims that since he's been in jail for so long for, you know, killing people, that he has seen some abuses in the system, and so he's coming out to speak on that topic.
Wow.
But I think the bottom line is that the man has boasted in euthanizing 130 elderly, disabled, and sick people. And men like that should not be on campus speaking about anything. So Holy Cross.
Holy Cross, on October 24th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Holy Cross, a Jesuit Catholic college in Massachusetts, is holding the 2007 Teen Pregnancy Institute Conference. Now, the problem with this is that part of this conference, they have representatives from Planned Parenthood. They also have representatives from NARAL, Pro-Choice Massachusetts. And on NARAL, Pro-Choice America's website states that it fights to protect the right to safe legal abortion. So you have all these different representatives on a Catholic college campus encouraging teens to use contraception, encouraging safe sex.
Now, you've gone through, I think there's a website or a web page about this little conference. Have you seen anything about abstinence or purity or chastity?
Or even natural family planning?
I personally don't remember running across anything, but you can go on the Holy Cross,
the Massachusetts Alliance on Teen Pregnancy website.
Yes, you can go to that website, and they have a brochure that you can click on from the conference and look at the different workshops that are being held.
I noticed this too, is that their governor, who is an abortion supporter, is also speaking at the conference or appearing at the conference and receiving a leadership award by the conference attendees. So I thought that's another kind of a not cool thing.
Right. And we encourage you to contact the president of Holy Cross, Michael McFarlane, Reverend Michael McFarlane, at 508-793-2011.
And also, this is the college that hosted Chris Matthews from Hardball.
That's correct.
A Catholic who says he doesn't like abortion, but doesn't feel that the government should do anything to stop it.
And this month, October, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We came across a study that came out early this month.
Interesting timing. So the study came out, and a guy from England, Peter Carroll of the London's Pension and Population Research Institute, in this report called The Breast Cancer Epidemic, released this study that was published in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, where he monitored the abortion rate in a handful of European countries and basically came to the conclusion that where there's a abortion rate, whether it's high or low, the breast cancer rate soon follows that in that same level. For instance, in England and Wales, where the abortion rate is high, there will be an increase of breast cancer over the next few decades. And in the countries where the abortion rate is low, like Ireland, both North and the Irish Republic, the breast cancer rate is much lower. And he accurately predicted an increase in the breast cancer rate in England and Wales, which he made the prediction in 1997, which did come true, by the way. So, but what's interesting is that he came to a few conclusions. One is that childlessness increases the risk of breast cancer. Having a baby at a young age is good for the mother in protecting her against breast cancer. Breastfeeding offers protection. Hormonal contraceptives increases breast cancer. And so does hormone replacement therapy.
That's important to note that while this doesn't directly say that abortion causes breast cancer, it does show a link, though, in the incidences of breast cancer and abortion. Whereas if abortion rates go down in a country, breast cancer rates will go down in the country. If abortion is low in the country, like Ireland, breast cancer rates are low.
And since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Susan G. Komen for The Cure is big in the news.
A lot of pink out there.
They have a link to Planned Parenthood and to Human Embryonic Stem Cell Research. Many of their affiliates have grants out to Planned Parenthood.
Even the World Health Organization, a UN body, says that the birth control pill will increase your risk for breast cancer. So is there political motives behind this that, you know, Susan G. Komen supporting Planned Parenthood and stuff like that when, you know, if they're not acknowledging the fact that Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest distributor of something that will increase the risk of breast cancer?
Now, they've also released a statement, which I think is interesting, too. Embryonic stem cells have the most potential for cancer stem cell research. They made that in actually last year.
Yeah. Where'd they get that from?
I mean, it's completely false. We know that the best source of curing cancers via stem cells comes from adult stem cells, bone marrow, umbilical cord, blood. So,
The only results have come from adult
Right, adult the stem only cells. Benefits have come from adult stem cell research.
That's crazy.
It is. So there's a lot of stuff going on with Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And one thing, I got this email from Plaxo, and they are—
What's Plaxo, Eric?
It's a sort of online business card thing that a lot of people use. They keep their contact information on there, and whenever they update, you know, their email address or phone number, it sends out an email to everyone in their friends list to say that so-and-so has made an update. And they also have actually a kind of a unique interface that they use with all the social networking and blog sites that you can sort of sign on to Plaxo and be updated with all of your MySpace, Facebook, and blogger sites.
Okay, so what are they promoting?
Well, they're urging people to send out e-cards to raise awareness about breast cancer and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And what they're asking is that if you're not a subscriber to their e-card service, which is another thing that Plaxo does, is to subscribe. And if you do, we will donate all of the proceeds to Susan G. Komen for The Cure.
I don't mean to sound heartless with this, but you can get e-cards for free. There's no need to pay for them online.
That is a good point.
And as Eric said, they'll donate 100% of what they receive this month to Susan G. Komen for The Cure. And what's the problem with Susan G. Komen for The Cure? Because,
well, like, exactly,
as you said earlier, right, they support Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, the link to Planned Parenthood and their support for human embryonic stem cell research.
That's right.
I'm writing a letter to Plaxo and all their board members, but if you use Plaxo, you should write them and let them know, or call them. Their email address is info@plaxo.com. Their phone number is 650-254-5400.
Speaking of cancer, right?
Sure.
I could talk about Aurora, couldn't I?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood.
That's cancer. Right. There cancer, Planned Parenthood, death. We'll see what we do with that.
So what's going on in Aurora with Planned Parenthood there?
Well, unfortunately, Aurora, on October 1st, Mayor Tom Weisner, he approved a temporary permit for the Aurora Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. So they have been open since October 1st, but the fight is not over.
And from what I understand, they didn't perform any abortions in the first week. This is the first week that they will be doing abortions.
They have two court cases that are directly involved with Planned Parenthood, one involved with Pro-Life Action League and the Fox Valley families, and a lawsuit was filed by Eric Scheidler and other Aurora residents against Planned Parenthood. So the fight is not over. Mm-hmm. Keep fighting, and we will prevail.
And, well, there's another big interesting point here. The mayor said when he released the report, or before the report came out, the investigative report on Planned Parenthood, that he would release it and make it public, and then, you know, there would be a little discussion before any decisions were made as to whether or not Planned Parenthood could
That's
open.
Right.
And guess what he did?
Didn't
he told
do
Planned
anything.
Parenthood.
Right.
And then he had a press conference saying they could open. And a lot of the city council members didn't find out until that press conference that the report was out and that Planned Parenthood would be allowed to open, making a lot of them very, very, very angry with not only Planned Parenthood, but the mayor, who probably won't get reelected. An interesting thing, though, in the report, the attorney who did the investigation into Planned Parenthood's coming into the city of Aurora said that he found no criminal wrongdoing. However, he said that's all he could investigate was criminal wrongdoing. He couldn't look into zoning issues or things of that nature because he had no jurisdiction over there. And all along, pro-lifers have been contesting that it's been zoning regulations that Planned Parenthood, you know,
Deceived on. Right.
I mean, it doesn't make sense why the mayor would think that people would let him get away with this. And I'm sure he's not going to.
Make sure to email us at podcast@rockflife.org or call our voicemail at 866-552-3368. Check us out on the web at rockforlife.org and MySpace at myspace.com/rockforlife and myspace.com/rockforlifepodcast. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about Whoopi Goldberg, Sarah Silverman, and the Lake of Fire abortion documentary right here on the Rock for Life podcast.
Because I feel like this would maybe cause less abortions in the world. You know, that people would keep having kids instead. They get their $5,000.
Elizabeth, can I ask you one question? Can I ask you a question?
Gut instinct on this bill.
I just have to ask you this question since you've opened this door.
Sure.
Have you ever been in a position to have to make that decision?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Then back off a little bit. Back off a little bit. Very few people want to have abortions. Most people. Now, see, I was listening.
I was just affirming what you said.
Most people do not want to have abortions. Mm-hmm. Most women do not have them with some sort of party going on. It is the hardest decision that a woman ever has to make. So when you talk about it, mm-hmm, a little bit of reverence to the women out there who have had to make this horrible decision. And one of the reasons that we have had to make this decision, mm-hmm, is because so many women were found bleeding, dead, with hangers in their bodies because they were doing it themselves. The idea of this was to make it safe and clean. That was the reason the law came into effect. That was why it was done.
You also have to admit, Whoopi, in that.
That was Whoopi Goldberg harassing Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View last week. What do y'all think?
Well, she talks about a hard decision. Why is it such a hard decision in her mind?
She said it's such a horrible decision. Such a horrible, hard decision.
Why is it?
What is so horrible and hard? Yes, obviously, the reality of, hey, you're killing your kid, but does she know what it's like to have a kid?
Mm-hmm. It should be noted that Whoopi is very open about being post-abortive. She had an abortion years ago. She's not sorry for it. And she basically has the idea that, you know, if a woman doesn't have the support or whatever, doesn't have the financial resources, instead of society doing something about that, that, you know, we should just agitate for abortion. In fact, that reminds me of a quote from Frederica Matthews Green, basically says, the answer to a crisis pregnancy is to eliminate the crisis, not the child.
That's great. I think for many women, depending on their circumstances, it's a hard decision. This is why. We know that when we're pregnant, we have a baby. I mean, that's just basic science 101. And so, of course, to even think about aborting your baby and then going that far, sure, that must be a really difficult decision. But also, Whoopi, you brought this up earlier, has she had a child? What about the women who are raped and keep their baby for 9 months and then give that baby up for adoption? What, isn't that a tough decision to make?
Right, and she has obviously no idea what it is to carry a child and to have a child. And I don't like how she corners Elizabeth Hasselbeck saying, have you ever been forced with that decision? Have you ever had to deal with that decision? And, you know, Elizabeth says, no. And you think about it, Elizabeth wanted to have children. She obviously knew it must have been wrong to kill her child inside of her.
It's just another interesting point is, The question being posed is, you know, what's your gut reaction from Hillary Clinton's plan to give $5,000 to every child born in the U.S.? And Hasselbeck is a conservative. Normally conservatives oppose such programs like that. But Hasselbeck's gut response was, this might have some women, you know, realize that there is help for them. They don't need to have an abortion, that there is at least some funding that can come their way.
Her argument is that it could save lives.
Yeah, and instead of Whoopi saying, oh, that's great, you know, you're a conservative, you're against giving money to poor people from the government, but you're saying that this could be a beneficial thing. No, instead it's, you know, you don't know what you're talking about because you've never had an abortion, you've never been in that place, blah, blah, blah.
Well, she made one other comment too that I think needs to be addressed, is that she talked about that so many were dead when abortion was illegal, with bleeding, with hangers in their bodies and stuff. I mean, come on, did that really happen?
Give me 10 names. Somebody call and give us 10 names. 10 names of women who've died from coat hanger abortions. Because frankly, people normally can only bring up one, Jerry Santoro. And, you know, that was her boyfriend performing an abortion on her in a hotel room. She died and he fled.
Well, not only that, but a boyfriend, she was married, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. So they were actually performing the abortion to hide her affair with this man. I think that's an interesting point.
But yeah, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the guy who co-founded NARAL, which is now one of the nation's largest abortion agitators, I guess you could say. When he founded it back in the 60s, they realized that they just could not get a lot of the feminist leaders to jump on board with a pro-abortion position because a lot of them still had problems with abortion. A lot of them were mothers. So what they did is they decided that they were going to take a different route. They were going to tell everybody that, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 women were dying each year from illegal abortions, which they admit is a number they made up simply to swing public support on their side.
And not just made up, that they totally embellished.
That's what made up means.
I know, but I mean,
really
like made up.
Okay, like quad made up.
Yes, and yes, sure.
Well, another thing you could take from her comment was a lot of people who support abortion like to take the stance of, oh, it's not a child, that's just a blob of tissue. Well, Whoopi's obviously talking about that it's a hard decision, meaning she's admitting that that is a child.
Which I'm sure a lot of people are going to get angry at, because they don't like it when people who are supposedly for the right to abortion go and say that it's a bad choice, that it's a horrible decision to make.
So again, she made a fool of herself.
Yes, and we should pray for her.
That's right, we should.
And we will. Speaking of fools.
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, did anybody watch that episode of Sarah Silverman last week?
I wanted to, but I think there was a basketball game on.
I heard you did, Phil.
Of course I did. Yeah. last Friday, was the first episode of the new season of the Sarah Silverman program. For those of you who don't know, Sarah Silverman is a prominent American comic who, she's pretty crass and she makes fun of everything, no holds barred, and that's why she's become so popular. And the very first episode of the new season dealt with abortion.
It sounds like she made fun of everyone.
Literally, everyone, mostly herself, most of all, which is just the standard thing. I know a lot of people were talking before the episode. Comedy Central released a little clip from it, and a lot of pro-lifers were worried that it would make pro-lifers look stupid and stuff like this. I don't think it did. I think it's to the point where people who watch the Sarah Silverman program realize nothing in it can be taken seriously. It's all about joking about everything.
I don't get it. So you guys are against abortion? I thought you were just against killing babies.
Sarah, abortion is killing babies.
I guess I just always thought of babies as like little people who cry and poop and sit in cribs, not like little like lumpy things on the side of my uterus.
No, Sarah, those are babies too. It's not for us to judge which lives are valuable and which are not. We need to defend all lives, especially those that can't defend themselves.
That makes sense.
Ah, that was tense for a second there.
Sarah, what's important is that now you know what's right. And that, of course, you can't have any more abortions.
Oh, no, my doctor says I'm healthy and I can have another one when I'm ready.
Sarah, it's not that you can't. It's that you must not.
Right. So I can't have any more abortions, like, ever. Wow. You know, I'm gonna get some air.
Well, the pro-lifers in there did get out a pretty good message that we're not the ones to judge what life deserves protection and not, and therefore you should defend all innocent life, especially the life that can't speak for itself. If you go online and you look at some of the responses to this, you'll find a lot of them don't like their portrayal. A lot of pro-choice activists didn't like that, you know, the abortion clinic was portrayed as this goofy place. They didn't like that. Sure, it's being presented in a humorous fashion, but abortion is something that they are hearing again.
So you think there might be some kind of fruits that come out of this? Maybe?
Every time people talk about abortion, as long as there's a pro-lifer present, there's going to be, you know, a positive message being portrayed. And now with so many young people across religious backgrounds, you know, political spectrum, so many young people are pro-life now that the more it's being talked about, the better it is for everyone, except for pro-choice activists.
We've been hearing about in a documentary about abortion for some time now. We heard there's a showing, so we sent you up there. And now this documentary is coming out nationwide soon. So you got a little preview at the film festival. So
yeah, last April, I drove up to Philly, met up with a couple friends there, and we went to go see it at a screening at the Philadelphia Film Festival.
What's it called?
It's called Lake of Fire. And like we said, the director is Tony Kaye, famous for American History X. And this is his first movie since then. It took him about 18 years to put this together, from the filming, the editing, the interviews, everything. It took a long time. And it's being billed as the definitive documentary on abortion in the U.S. I got to tell you, it's not. You know, coming at it from an activist, it's not. Anybody who's been who goes to the movie, who's been involved in, you know, activist movements, whether it is pro-choice or pro-life, is going to know that there's a lot of stuff that isn't mentioned in there. Probably the most glaring omission is young people. It's all adults. There's no interviews with young people. There's very little footage of young people. And while the entire there's no voiceover to this documentary. It's not like Michael Moore, who does a lot of talking in the movie. It's all the interviews with the people. Their voices are what happens, which is a good technique sometimes. But also, if somebody who's being interviewed makes an incorrect, false statement, then it doesn't go rebutted. And there were a lot of times where arguments were made that were just completely propaganda. They were slander. They weren't true in any way, and they weren't contested.
So does it give both sides of the abortion issue, or is it just
it does.
One-sided?
It does. It gives both sides. And from talking to my friends afterwards, and also talking to other people, too, who have seen it, pretty much everybody loves the movie and hates it at the same time. They love it because it does show a lot of voices that you wouldn't hear. I mean, Nat Hentoff is in it. He is a liberal, atheist, pro-life advocate. It's done in black and white to kind of
To mute out the graphic
nature.
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up, because I'm reading this review in the New York Times, and they talk about how in the movie there are scenes of graphic abortions.
Yes, there were.
And you mentioned at the film review that people were crying.
Yeah, there were people crying. When we went to this, this is the Philadelphia Film Festival. This isn't like, you know, Sunday school. Most of the people who go there are very liberal in nature. We were probably the only, I mean, we're like college-age kids. We were the only young people there. And we were all wearing pro-life t-shirts, which made us very popular.
Good for you.
Stairs. Yeah. But a lot of people there, you can tell just hearing the conversation during the movie, because of course people are going to talk during a movie. They'd never seen this before. They didn't think that abortion at this stage looked like that. And, you know, when it's in this movie, this documentary, it's not pro-life propaganda. I mean, these scenes were shot specifically for the movie. They didn't take pictures of pro-life signs and just show them and say, this is what an abortion is. They said, no, here's a woman having an abortion, and here's our camera panning over to what has come out.
They show an actual abortion.
They do show an actual
pictures
abortion.
Pictures do not lie.
They do not lie.
So maybe we should send a copy to Whoopi Goldberg and Sarah Silverman.
Well, just to wrap up this segment, I wanted to just have a little update on the 40 Days for Life campaign that ends on November 4th. I came across a story that a family, a mother and her two young daughters, were praying in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Lufkin, Texas. And this 16-year-old girl, one of the daughters, wrote a letter to the editor. And she explained how a man came from behind them and for at least 20 minutes turned on and off a chainsaw.
Man, too bad Tony K didn't get that on film.
Sure.
For the documentary.
But no, this is serious. Like, they're Planned Parenthood trying to intimidate these one woman and two daughters and trying to intimidate them using a chainsaw. This is ridiculous. But Planned Parenthood obviously states the opposite, that the clinic director was actually her teenage son, and they didn't even use a chainsaw and everything like that.
Make sure to write us at podcast@rockflife.org. Call us at 866-552-3368. Leave us comments, questions, suggestions. Make sure to check out the website at rockflife.org. And check out our MySpace at myspace.com/rockforlife. We also want to thank Man of War for providing the music on this podcast. Check them out at myspace.com/Man of War. They are hip-hop artists out of San Diego, California. And this music comes from their release 10 Horn Daggers, and their latest release is Love and War, both off Syntax Records.
Remember, the Rock for Life podcast is made available because of the generous donations by you, our listeners. Donate online at rockforlife.org. Rock for Life is a project of American Life League, pro-life without exceptions, without compromise. And though death was an illusion, master to extract, losing match, Matt did to cast.